cheap in the Calvo region. We've got one paddock here at 10 hectares in size, and it's a little bit difficult. We've seen a few swaps around here at the end of day one where they're urinating. The highlight is here, there's a bit of a hill here, and if you look up top, that's the hill in the picture. Very rank rubbish and grass, and not much off for it. There's not all the rubbish that you go there. And around here, there's not much urine, but after three more days, you can see there's a lot of urine in that area there. There's still very little urine in this area up here. So, again, there are hot spots within the paddock where animals are likely to urinate. That data was then looked at. This was looked at by a postdoc, and he said, well, what's going on at different times of the day? Now, we've got the east side on the east and the west side on the west. And in the morning, in this area, autumn, it was cold, frosty mornings. And look where the sheep are on the 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning, they're on the east side of the paddock. Perhaps the soils are warmer and they're there to make the most of it. Come supper time, 10 o'clock, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night, the sheep were on the west side of the paddock. We're tempted to suggest, well, maybe it's all warmer there, and that's where they go in the evening. Perhaps it doesn't really matter, but there are reasons, so I'll come back to that one, there are reasons why I think it really does matter. You'll recognise this as the paddock where we're showing where the animals urinate, the cattle paddock, and of the red areas here where the animals are spending a lot of resting time. We did have GPS, we did have those motion sensors on the tail when the tail go up to urinate and defecate. There's a lot of data there, and we haven't got around to working on it yet. But we sent a French student out with the GPS for a couple of days, and he GPSed every dung paddock. You can see the paddock spray painted it, so he didn't work wise, so we ended up quite a colourful paddock. But again, you can see that the animals are defecating in these hot spots or campsites. So, yeah, there are issues there from an environmental point of view, which is what they'll work about. But just knowing how many urine patches there are in a patch, in paddock, is one thing, but we really need to know what is the nitrogen load in these urine patches. It's the grams of nitrogen in there which are going to determine how much methane, how much goes off the nitrous oxide. So we need to work that out. And that urine sensor, while it's often worked quite well, but full doesn't suit our purposes. So we're in the process of designing our own urine sensor. And this thing at the top left, that tube there is a pipe, 50 millimetres diameter. And inside that pipe, we've got some electronics going there. We've got a refractive index sensor there. There's a few gadgets holding the position. That all gets put together, put in that sleeve arrangement. There you've got the Velcro, and you can see the top of that sensor down in there. And we Velcro that on the back of the cowl, and you can see the urine sensor hanging off the back end. This is very new work. We've only played with animals for a very small paddock for a couple of hours at a time, what's going on. But we do have a little bit of laboratory work where did the work at four urine through the urine sensors. We did it four times, these first four columns here. And the refractive index here, higher the refractive index, the greater the nitrogen concentration of the urine. The dark histogram bars are the maximum reading. The refractive index tends to take not green for a very short time. I don't know how many years it is to find out. And the blue histogram is averaging all the reading. And you can see with a reasonable consistency of the estimated nitrogen concentration, as affected by refractive index. When we start to dilute the urine down to 56%, 50% or 33%, the refractive index is doing what we expect. So maybe we've got a walk to the laboratory in terms of nitrogen and urea coming out of the cow. We believe this is really important because we sampled sheep at midday. We sampled the morning, midday and evening over 3 days, 7 to 12 sheep, I get urine samples from. If we just put these 11 containers up here and took a photograph of them, many of them are quite dark urine, high nitrogen concentration. Look at these, that one there and that one there, really dilute. And that's what's going on the urine, the urine going on the soil. Some of those urine patches have got very, very little nitrogen in, while others go when you talk to people doing lysimeter studies trying to estimate how much nitrogen is lost from a urine patch on a lysimeter, typically they say cow's urine is 800 kilograms of nitrogen hectare equivalent. So they put that on the lysimeter, work out how much leaches, and then extrapolate that to the whole paddock. And we know, just looking at this, there's no way that every urine patch is going to be anywhere near 800 kilograms, or for sheep poison. So it's going to be very, very dilute urine and very concentrated urine from the same animal on the same day. So it's really important to know these things. We're also using our urine census to evaluate mitigation strategies. One of those strategies we're doing in Calvo is putting salt into the animal with a high level of salt on the plate base, drink a lot, urinate a lot, therefore a lot more puddles around the paddock, something that's much more dilute. Target a DCD. DCD is a nitrification inhibitor. We don't have so much nitrate in the soil, we put that chemical on the ground, and therefore we have less leaching. Quite expensive, but it is a strategy which could be used for mitigating nitrogen. So we can use our sensors for evaluating these strategies. I've already mentioned about protecting the critical source areas, so I don't need to say any more than that. But we are using hyperspectral imaging. We want to get these models that Dave talked about. Why do animals take the certain areas? Is it high biomass, high cod, no cod, feed, is it contour, aspect, elevation? We're getting lots and lots of data together, trying to get a very good basis for predicting where these animals are going to urinate and eat at. So that's some work we're getting into. We've done a little bit and a lot more we can do yet. Some of the models used by the soils lab when they're recommending fertilizer recommendations to farmers, they assume certain models are well quantified, and they use these nutrient transfer models. A lot of that is done on very little evidence being published, and that's the only basis on some of these parts of these models. So we need to validate the nutrient transfer models, which we use an overseer in New Zealand, one of the major models for estimating leaching. So man-made campsites, or, you know, we've talked about the virtual fence chemically animals away from some areas or encouraging them to other areas. Shelter, you can have artificial shelter which can be moved around the place if you want to make animals urinate or excrete in different parts of the paddock. We've noticed there are leaders within our groups of sheep. No doubt there are leaders in our groups of cattle. We haven't looked for that yet, but if we can identify the leaders, train the leaders to keep animals away from riparian areas or something like that, that's another opportunity. So, yeah, I reckon it really does matter where animals urinate and defecate. And if we understand this, get in and target these things, we can make some progress.